Well, let's open our Bibles today to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I've been teaching on this particular theme of messages. And be honest with you, I was going to go another direction. I had it in my heart, but the Lord just, I guess, there was just a knowing or a witness to just stay here for another lesson or so. He has more that he wants to say, and I'm sure glad about that, because obviously so far today he's got some things he wants to say. He wants to affirm to us, number one, that he loves us. And that if there's anything we should never, ever forget is that he loves us. He cares for us. And he knows the hearts of the people, so obviously there's something that he wants to get across to all of us in these days that we live, that he loves us. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but ever have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, here's a perfect scripture right here. Just the thought come to me. And folks would say, well, you know, God, he can't be a loving God. Look what he do here. He's condemning somebody. But this says here, the reason they are, he that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. This says here, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because what? He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And you know, you hear that from folks. How could a loving God send people to hell? And they get an attitude. But God is love. And he sent his Son here and paid the price and took the sins of all mankind to hell. And he said, if you believe on that, if you believe on that work, that finished work, then you'll be saved. But if you don't, you shall be condemned. When I say, what does that mean? That means you're judged. Judged what? That you didn't believe on what I did. The only one and true God. The only one that was able to take the sins and sicknesses of all mankind and reconcile them to God. That is love. And it's no different. What did he do to Adam? He said, Adam, if you do these things, well, let's put it this way. He told them not to do something. And he told them to do certain things, eat of this and not this. And when they violated that, there was a consequence, was there not? And that consequence was they got removed from the garden. And you know, that's no different today. I think some folks think, well, you know, I'm saved, and so there's nothing I could do. Yes, there is. If you reject him, now that's pretty hard to do, but there's scripture, I believe, isn't it in, is it 1 Corinthians? That talks about if you trample underfoot the blood of Jesus, and you take lightly, or you've tasted of the heavenly gifts, that you can be, there is a place that one could reach to be separated from God, even after someone's been saved. It is possible. Don't ever presume or be presumptuous where God is concerned. Never. He is God. And Him only shall we serve. Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles. Just going to look at a few scriptures from the last lesson. We're going to look at Galatians. And these other messages, again, they're available if you desire them on CD or DVD. You can get those in the bookstore at no charge. Or you can download them off the website. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Says, and I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh." Or you could say, you haven't been set free to flesh out. You know, what does that mean? Consume everything on your flesh. You've been set free to, what does it say? To serve one another. The Amplified says that, just that. It says, we've been called to freedom, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh or an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. The Contemporary English Version says, "My friends, you were chosen to be free, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want." See, we're not set free to do anything we want. And there's other scriptures we're going to look at this morning that will support just that and another way we're looking at it today. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Quickly. We got a lot to cover today, and I believe I want to keep on point here today. Romans chapter 12. There's a lot that I believe I'm sensing He wants to say today. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," so who's he talking to? He's talking to us, the saints, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, the New International Version says that we offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So when we think and we see service, we can equate that to worship. When we think service, we can think worship, things that we're doing in the work of the ministry is worship. It's service, but God considers it worship. And let's turn over Ephesians chapter 4. And so the question is, who was supposed to do the work of the ministry? That's a question. What is the answer? Who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? Let's say it again so everybody that may not know hear that. Who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? That's correct. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 11 for the sake of time, and I'm going to read in the King James and then some other translations. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What's verse 12 say? For the perfecting of the saints, for what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. So you're reading in your Bible, right? Do you see anywhere in there where it says the work of the ministry is to be done by the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Does it say that? Do you see that? Okay. That may make you a little nervous, but you know, you may finally come to realize, gee, that means I have to do something? Right. That means yes. That means you. See, so now that you've read that, you can't stand before God and say you didn't know. See, you can't say that anymore. So you may not have known up till this point. But now that you know, he may ask you to do something. Now, at the Amplified, let me read that from the Amplified. It says, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Now, verse 12, his intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So God's intention is to perfect the saints so that they can then be used for the work of the ministry. And I would say if you went about and did a survey, most churches in Christendom, now that may not include churches in certain settings, but if you went and did a survey of most churches, evangelical churches and so forth, Catholic church, whatever, there, if you ask them who was supposed to do the work of the ministry, what kind of response might you get? The pastor. That's what he's hired to do. Now, let's think about that a minute. How on earth is a handful of pastors in Christendom going to get the job done? That doesn't even make any sense, does it? And that's why most of them are run out, burnt out, overloaded, because the people sitting in the pews have that thinking and aren't doing anything. They come to church sometimes and think that the pastor should do everything, or the minister, or whatever. And that's not scriptural. The New International Version says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let's use an example. When everybody yields to God and serves him, then he can use us in works of service. And if you go and you look at the epistles, it says that he puts together every joint, and each joint supplieth what's needed to the edification, the building up of the body. When every part gets in its place, then the body is what? It says built up in love. Well, how would it be if you come to a service, and I'm going to use this as an example, and people don't yield to the graces that they have in them? Some to sing, some have business skills, some have other types of skills, so that the body can flow and function and be edified. Does that make sense? Pastor can't do everything. And you know that. That just makes sense. And I believe you understand that. But for those that may not, we're making it plain again. Amen. Pastor Clinton used to say this for years when he was alive. Jesus is our focus. Who's our focus? Jesus. And kingdom building is our job, all of our job. See, I may stand in a position, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Greg, others may stand in a called out position to function in a certain office, but I'm like you, I'm also being prepared to do works of service that may be aside from even the pastoral role. See, to help, to assist. Now today, the Lord put in my heart to share this. Just some thoughts here today for you to ponder. And I believe the Lord has set the plate here for us to receive this. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 1 for a moment. The Lord has saved us so that we can do what? Serve Him. And a way we could say it is that He owns me. Just two things. He owns me because He created me. So just the mere fact that He created me, He owns me. And now I've been bought with a price and separated by His blood and His name. He owns me. Does He not? And He owns you. Hebrews chapter 1, and look at verse 3. I'm going to read it in the King James, then the New International Version, because I think it's significant to just start here for a moment. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now I want you to stop and read these words slowly. Let your eyes read them. And don't read it from memory, but read it with me. It says, and upholding. That's a significant word right there. Upholding all things by the word of His power. That word is rhema. That's not logos. That's rhema. That's the life-giving nature of God. His active, His, what's the word I want to say? It's His life imparted in that word. Let me read it from the New International Version. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Now listen to this. Sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. I want you to just listen to this for a moment, because God is God. He is the only God. The only God. And He upholds all things. He sustains all things. And He sustains us. Some of us, you know, have gone through periods of our life where we say, God, did you go to Jamaica? I don't know. I'm going through some season and I don't know where God is. And I question God, whether he sustains me. That's a lie that you've bought into, because the scripture says he sustains and upholds all things. He is God. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provideth. I want you to listen to what the word upholding means in the Greek. It means to carry some burden. Ah. He's the burden bearer. He's the burden carrier. He upholds all things. He upholds your burdens. This says to bear up, to bear, to endure. This says here also of Christ, he's the preserver of the universe. He's the one that supplies all things. He upholds all things. Now, I'm telling you, when I saw that, my mind immediately started to race on scripture after scripture after scripture of what he did to bear my burdens. I'm just going to read these. You don't have to write. You can write them down. Matthew 8:17. Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. He bore them, the burden of it. Isaiah 53:4. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. He bore it. He carried the burden. He sustains all things. 1 Peter 2:24, himself, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should do what? Live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we can see here, he upholds all things by the rhema word of his power. So he is the preserver. Listen to this scripture again, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That word is rhema. We're to live by every rhema word that comes out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you see that he upholds all things by the word, all things are upheld by his word, it's our reasonable service to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. He upholds all things. He's my preserver. That's why I love this song this morning, Every Praise. I mean, he is my Savior. He is my healer. He's my deliverer. He is my all in all. He's it. And he upholds my life. So it's reasonable, it's just reasonable that I come to him and present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, because he's God. See? So we're still talking about serving. The first few lessons we're talking about our service to the body, but I'm telling you, the first thing that we should serve is him. He is the one that we serve. We serve him and him alone. And no other God do we bow our knee to. Now let's turn over to Exodus for a moment. We're going to look at a few scriptures over here in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. I'll go quickly here. Exodus chapter 4. And look at verse 23. God wants to make a point today. It says in verse 23, "And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." Go to chapter 7. And verse 16, Exodus 7, just flip over and go to verse 16. And we can see this is going to be the story of Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh and the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, from bondage. But you can see here, what is God asking Moses to say to Pharaoh? Let my people go, that they may do what? Serve me. That's no different today. And we've been delivered and let go from sin and bondage for the purpose of what? Serving him. And him alone. Amen. Verse 16. And the Lord is saying, "And thou shalt say unto him," him meaning Pharaoh, "the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear." And of course we know Pharaoh hardened his heart, and they got a bunch of bad stuff that happened because of that, didn't they? It says that the water turned to blood and the fish died, and then they got some frogs, and then some dust became lice, and the magicians said what? This is the hand of God. But God asked Moses, "You tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me and worship me." Go to chapter 8. Let's look at verse 20. So you can see the progression of this. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord." Who? "Thus saith the Lord. Let my people go, that they may serve me." And of course, you know, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and he got some flies. So he said, what did he say? He said, "Okay, I'll let you go sacrifice." And then he changed his mind, hardened his heart after the flies were removed. Look at chapter 9. Look at the beginning of verse 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me." You get what God is saying? See, we've been set free. What do we read? Not as an occasion to the flesh or something that we can selfishly pour it upon our flesh and serve our flesh or our appetites, but we've been set at liberty to serve Him. That's what God wants. He wants us to serve Him. And of course, you know, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then he got some dead cattle all over Egypt. And then he asked Moses to take some ashes from the furnace, and it became what? Boils. They had some problems. Because what? He wouldn't let them go. You got a jealous God. Look at verse 13, same chapter. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me." Go to chapter 10. Look at verse 3. Chapter 10 and verse 3. Now the Lord is saying almost something a little, He adds something here. "And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." He's asking us to serve Him with our lives, all of our mind, our soul, our body. Go, flip over to Exodus 20. You can start to see here some other scriptures. What is the first commandment? See, if you missed it over there, you know, if you were Pharaoh, he made it a little plain here, right? It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which what? Have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? Keep my commandments." So we've been delivered from bondage. We've been set free, and that command is still no different today. Love the Lord with all of thy heart. Love Him and serve Him, and have no other gods before thee to serve. What does that mean? That means Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." He's first. And we ask these questions. If He's first, then everything else after that is second. Everything. That means your husband or your wife is not first before God. That means your children are not first. That means your job is not first. And you may think, well, yeah, I know that. But then how many people will not consider God? I'm not saying this is us, because we know better. But how many people do you know who will move because of a raise or more money? Well, they serve their job then. And that's no different. How many, I know Pastor Sarah could probably pipe in here. She got many more stories than being in ministry as long as she has, and Pastor Clinton. How many call to the ministry but then say, why, I can't because, you know, my husband or my wife's not in agreement with that. Then you serve them. That may be hard to swallow, but it's the truth. You will have to stand before God and answer to him why you didn't answer his call to serve him because you placed someone above that. It's the truth. And there are those that do. But he's a jealous God. And he loves us and cares for us. And he upholds all things by his word. Turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. And look at verse 47. See, when you look at what we just read, the first commandment, he said, I am the Lord thy God that hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We have only one God, and him only do we serve. Let me ask this question. I know you know the answer to this. If you're married, it's not okay to be intimate with someone else. And when we become intimate with someone or something other than God, that's spiritual adultery. It's spiritual unfaithfulness. It's no different. It is no different. If we say we love him and him only, then we cannot be intimate with someone or something else. Because he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Isn't that what God said? That's what he said. So that's a hard examination for all of us. And every one of us we've all missed it somewhere in our life. We've all missed it. Every single one of us in here have gotten somewhere where we may have placed something above him. And usually he checks us and said, no, that ain't right. He's a loving God. He's a jealous God. He's going to tell you, don't do that. Don't place that person or thing above me. And he gives us an opportunity to fix it. That's a loving God. He gives us an opportunity to correct it. And even when some are hard-headed and don't listen, he's still nudging. He's still wooing and saying, fix it, correct it. I love you, and I'm here for you. I'm not going to leave you, but I want to be first, you see. Amen. But Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47, look at this verse here. This is in the curses. See, now Galatians 3, says that we've, 3:13 says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Okay? So these don't pertain to us, but you can put yourself back up under the law if you go and want to serve someone else or something else. Now look at verse 47. It says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve who? Your enemies. So when you don't serve the Lord your God with what? Joyfulness and with gladness of heart. What? For the abundance of all things. He's Jehovah Jireh. He upholds all things with the word of his power. And when we don't thank him, we don't seek him and just love him for that because he's God, this says here, you can put yourself over in a situation where now you're going to serve thine enemy. What does that mean? You're serving something that you've placed above him. That's what that means. You're going to end up serving what you want. Some may say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'll tell you. We'll show you in a minute just from the scripture, where that's so. Let me read another scripture to you. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Think about serving the Lord with gladness. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He wants to be served and adored. He wants to be first in your life. We've been set free from bondage to serve him. Do whatever he wants. Hallelujah. Let me read another scripture. Well, you can turn over there. Turn over to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And look at verse 17, Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Let me see here. What does it say? It says to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and do what? I see. But God is love, isn't he? God is love, but the writer here, inspired by God, is saying, mark those that cause divisions and offenses contrary to what? The doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. What's verse 18 say? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their what? Their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That can apply to anybody. If you serve your belly, what does that mean? That just doesn't mean this. That means you serve your appetites. That's what that means. If you serve your appetites, you don't serve the Lord Jesus. Because why? You've placed that above him. Amen. Let me read another scripture to you. You can write it down. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. He doesn't add sorrow to that which he blesses. He upholdeth all things. He bears the burden of something. You don't have to try to get rich. When he blesses you, he opens the windows of heaven and he adds no burden with it.
Hallelujah.
He carried the burden. Right? If you got burden, then that means you're trying to be it. You're trying to make it happen. Amen. Okay, a couple of more scriptures here. John 8. John chapter 8. And verse 34. John 8, 34. John chapter 8 and verse 34. It says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the what?
Slave.
Mine says servant, but the more modern translations, it says you're a slave to sin. And you see, here's where the deception is. The devil's not going around peddling that you're going to be a slave to something. He tells you you're going to be free. You know, let's say it another way. There's no free agents here. You know, you can do what you want. You're either going to serve him or your enemies. And the scripture says here, whoever sins is a slave to it. So that which you think, you know, I'm just going to get free and have some fun, you'll be a slave to it. So you're going to be, and let's say it this way. I'm going to read a few other scriptures. When God delivered the Israelites from bondage, what did he say through there? Let my people go that they may serve me, not serve what they just came out of. So when he set us free, we are to serve him, not serve what we just came out of. Because you will be a servant or a slave to that. Now, let's go back over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. And I want to just hang in with me a little bit, just a few more minutes here, because the Lord is making a point here. And you may say, well, this doesn't apply to me. Okay, maybe it doesn't, but I guarantee you, every single one of us at some point have missed it. Let's see. Are you a slave to sweets? Let me see. Let me come over here. Let me stand right here. Let me stand right here.
I've been set free by that.
He's been set free. All right. Okay. Let me see. No, because that's talking about the belly. And that's just one part of it. I was going to say, are you a slave to Big Macs? You may be. I don't know. But you understand my point. Every one of us have missed it somewhere where we placed our appetite above the leading of the Lord. He says, stop eating that. Don't drink that anymore. And you go, no, I have to have that. I just got a taste for this. Really? And yet the Lord is prompting you, don't do that. So he's looking out for you, and you placed your appetite above it. But this doesn't pertain to me. Okay. Just trying to make it plain. See, it could be, it may not be food. It could be something else. Could be your job. It could be family, whatever it is. Could be clothes. You know, you just, the Lord will just prompt you, don't buy that right now. Well, I have to have that. See, you're a slave to your appetite. See, we think sin is something we categorize, but sin is not obeying him. That's what that is. Not obeying him. Not serving him. Romans chapter 6, you get there? Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under what? The law, but under grace. Because we're under grace, sin and its dominion has been broken over you. That's what the scripture says. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of what? Of sin unto death, or unto obedience unto righteousness. So whatever you yield to, you become a slave or a servant to, whether it's to sin or death, or unto what? Righteousness, obedience to righteousness. Is that pretty clear? I think that's pretty clear. So the scripture, now, what does 17 say? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have what? Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of what? Righteousness. So what are we? We're servants of who? Righteousness. We're servants of the Most High God. We're not servants of sin. Let me read this because it was a thought. Some will say it doesn't matter if I sin because what? We're under grace. You ever hear this? Let's see. Turn on the channels. You can hear it. It doesn't matter. We're under grace. Really? We just got done reading here. Whatever you yield to, you become a servant of. Whether sin or righteousness. If you are sinning, then you are a servant to that sin. And if you're serving that sin, then you're not serving God. That's just plain, that's as plain as you can make it. If you're serving that sin or that appetite, then you're serving that and you are not serving God. He is grace. So how can you say I'm serving grace and I'm under grace and you're serving sin? You're not. You're not. See, if the devil tempts you to do wrong and you do it, then what did you just do? Who are you serving? Who are you following? You're following the one who tempted you. So when temptations comes, we need to confess, no, I'm not serving that anymore. I don't serve that, I serve God. What did Jesus do in Matthew? What did he do in the book of Matthew when the devil tempted him? What did he say? He said, and the devil took him up unto an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, the devil said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt do what? Fall down and worship, serve me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence. That means get out of here. You know, we get this King James. It means get out. Leave in the name of Jesus. For it is written, thou shalt worship what? The Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So my question is, who are you serving? Well, we know the answer. It should be him and him only. He should be the one we're serving. Him only. He placed in the body and fit it together as he pleased. When we serve him and we follow him, every joint supplieth at what? His direction. And it's built up in love. See, but when we serve sin and we serve our appetites, then we're not serving him, and it affects the body. Does it not? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to 2 Peter. I'm going to close with this because there's a lot more, but we'll just close right up here. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you getting anything this morning? I hope so. If you can't say amen, say oh me, as Brother Hagin used to say. Maybe that just means maybe we hit something here. Something for you to consider. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. You can back up and read. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read that. You can back up and read it, but I'm going to just start with verse 18. And I'm going to read it from the New International Version because it makes it a little plain. See, the devil is not going to sell you sin. He's not going to tell you. He's going to sell you freedom. You know, you'll be free if you do this. He's not going to tell you the downside. Look at verse 18. It says, For they mouth, this is the New International Version, by the way, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. See? People that peddle sin, they're going to promise you freedom. But they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man, this is a continuation here, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. You're a slave to whatever has mastered you. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. So the Lord is nudging us, prompting us that we are to serve him and him only. The days are getting darker and darker and darker, and the pulls and enticements that come from a variety of ways. Just turn the TV on, your friends, who you may run with, the enticements and pull of the world is there. But God is saying, I am the one and only one that you are to serve. I've delivered you from bondage and sin, and you are to serve me and no other gods. And I will uphold you and sustain you and supply your every need. That's what he's commissioning us and heralding to us today. See, he knows your hearts, I don't. But it's strong, he's saying, serve just him. When you go, you know, do something, go in a particular direction, and you know it's not serving him, what's our response? Get behind me. No, no, I don't serve that anymore. I don't bow to that anymore. That's not going to master me. I'm redeemed. I'm delivered, and I serve him only. See, and the devil has a way, and I'm going to say this in closing, that the devil has a way of heaping condemnation on people when they miss it. And God knows that. And you may be struggling with something. Somebody may be in here struggling with some habit or something in the life. It may not even be a habit. It just may be, you know, the pulls of life. And you're struggling with that. And God is just saying, take a step. You know what? Even if you miss it, all the while you're missing it, say, God, I believe that you're first. Because the devil will say, yeah, right, you're a liar. You're saying that and doing something else. But it's with the word of your mouth and the confession of your lips that's going to change the direction of your life. Your words are going to, what is that scripture? My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with what? All diligence, for out of it are the what? The issues of life. That issues means the boundaries. You set the boundaries of your life with what comes out of your heart. And sometimes we slip back over into not serving God and we start releasing words and we change the course of our life. Well, that's easy to change. You just say, God, I missed it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for missing this. I got myself over into doing some things or to seeking after some things. And I started placing that above you. I'm sorry. And just repent. Don't get into condemnation over it. He's a loving God. He loves us with a jealous love. He has marked you. You're his child. And he loves us. And all he desires is that we turn our hearts to him. And keep it on him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.